Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is DNA. Here's where we're going today. For a long, long time, I had questions about whether I was a Christian or not. And it is interesting to me how many people at some point in their life, they genuinely believed something really happens on the inside. And as the case was with me at 6 years of age, I really did become a Christian. But because of really no discipleship, and you can be raised in a Christian home like I was and have lots of questions, and you can rehash and rehash and rehash and say, well, maybe I need to get saved again, which is not possible, by the way. Maybe I need to do this whole process again because I just don't feel like I did at first, or something's changed, or I'm not living right. It is very important for you to know personally, first of all, are you a Christian? And if you are a Christian, you have to put that to bed. You have to stop going back and disinterring, going back and saying, I've got to dig this all up and figure it out. Some things have to be settled so that you can move forward. No matter what you do, if you are God's child, you are His child. Okay? Now I'm going to give you some DNA testing here today that'll help establish this. Go to John chapter 3. Let's start there. John chapter 3, this guy named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God. No one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So he goes into this explanation about being born again. And this term has gotten destroyed through the decades, but it's still what it is. You get born the first time, in the flesh, that's how everybody, including Jesus, got on the planet. To be born the second time is the only way you're going to get into heaven. It is a spiritual birth, though. If you have not been born again, you are not spiritually alive. And you cannot be born again and again and again and again. It is not possible. Okay? And there are people that will argue this. I had this conversation the other day with a guy, and he believed you could lose your salvation. And I pressed him, and he kind of got it down to like, there could be a moment in time where you kind of were and you're not, and you could get right back in. I'm like, dude, that's crazy stuff. How are you going to get somebody to live that way, thinking one minute I'm in, one minute I'm not? I have three daughters. There is nothing that these three girls are ever going to be able to do to stop me from being their father. You know why? Because I can prove through DNA and my own wife. And you say, well, we don't believe that. We think something else, you know, be careful. All you gotta do is look at my girls. They're my girls. You know, that's not very hard. But see, I can pull DNA out. You need to have some DNA, spiritual DNA evidence that you are a child of God. And part of the reason you don't have the assurance and you've got a lot of questions, if you have questions about whether you're a Christian, is that you don't see the evidence in your life enough. And if you would let that manifest more, you'd go, okay, I am a Christian. All right, so you got to get you born first. John chapter 8, go over there, a few pages. We'll try it. I think we're going to go left to right as usual. John chapter 8, verse 37. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me. And he's having this dialogue with the religious leaders. You seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. Now, this is not how to make friends and influence people. Jesus is about to slam these religious people. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. you do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. Now listen to this. This is one of the first DNA tests. If God is your father, you are going to love Jesus. Now, it doesn't mean that a kid can't be ashamed of their parents. You know these stories about, mom, just let me off a block before we get there. I don't want anybody to see you. And, you know, what happened to her all of a sudden? You know, but kids can get embarrassed. We can have some bad moments. But basically here, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. Wow, there you go. That's just putting it down there. And the desires of your father you want to do. Now, there's a simple principle. Whoever your dad is, whatever your dad is interested in, that's what you want to do. If God is your father, you want to do things that please your father. If the devil is your father, and that's all you got, you're going to want to do things that please him. Which is it? He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? And then he answers it. He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Now, part of the DNA test is the number of things in this one alone. You hear God's words and you want to hear those words. People who go, put their hands over their ears, stick their fingers in, and go, la, 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 I don't want to hear that, and want to get away from it. You say, well, but I'm living in rebellion. I don't want to hear about it. Ungodly people want to get away from God and godly people. That's why you cannot take offense when someone doesn't want to be around you unless you're just obnoxious and a piece of work Christian. If you love people, care about people, and they don't want to be around you, don't be shocked. You represent. You have God in you, living in you and through you, and you are a presence in that person's life. And if they're not there and don't want to hear about God, they get away from you, right? You become a Christian, sometimes you lose friends. You say, but I'm the same person. No, you're not. And if you are, then nothing happened. Let's read another one, John chapter 10. A few pages over, John 10, let's jump in at verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my sheep. Another test. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Have you heard his voice? The scriptures that talk about today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Because when you say no to that voice, it gets easier and easier and easier to say no to that voice. And then you don't care anymore. Same passage there. Jump down. Verse 25, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And look at this next thing he adds, and they follow me. Are you following Christ? You say, well, but I've been running away for a long time. That can happen. Luke 15, the prodigal son, he was a son when he left. He got away, but you know what? He came home. Go home for Christ's sake and for your sake and everybody else's sake. So it is possible for a Christian, a true Christian, to look like a non-Christian and end up in some horrible places. But part of the proof that you are truly a believer is that it is his kindness, his gentleness that leads you to repentance, that draws you back and says, what are we doing out here? If any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. So sooner or later, Jesus calls out your name and says, Richard, come on over here. And I say, no, Lord, over here. Or I say, Lord, I'll be right back. Wait, right here, I'll be right back. This isn't gonna take too long. And I'm gonna need lots of mercy when I get back. He says, you can't leave me here to do the right back thing. I'm stuck with you everywhere you go. And if you're gonna go do a full thing, I'm in you. And so everything you do, I'm stuck with you to do. Think of the places we take Jesus, where we wish we could leave him in the car, and you can't. The things that he sees, the things that he hears, the things that he's subject to, because he said, I will never leave you or forsake you, so he can't wait somewhere else. he's got to go with, right? Keep reading there, verse 27, John 10, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand, period. You've got to get this over with. If you are a Christian, then either live like one or not, but don't go rehearsing this over and over. The devil is beating your brains in. He is going to keep you chasing your tail till the day you die. And if that's what works, then great. He's got you neutralized. You're not even a Christian, you think. Put it away. Settle it once and for all. Get you some witnesses around you that hear it and know what you're saying, and move on. Instead of tormenting yourself and believing lies, because when the enemy comes at you, what does he got to do? He's got to tell you a lie. You're not really a Christian. If you were a Christian, you would do this, 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 and this. It's not conditioned on your behavior. It's conditioned on whether you have a relationship or not. My Jesus finishes what he starts. So even whether you like it or not, if you're a Christian, my Jesus is coming after your butt. That's how this works. John 17. Look at this one. Verse 1, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life. Okay, you want to know what eternal life is? Here it is. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Do you know him? Do you acknowledge that he is the only true God, and you say, well, not just God, true God, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You have to acknowledge Jesus. You say, well, I believe in God. It's not enough. The demons in hell believe in God and tremble at his name, the scripture says. You say, I believe in God. That's a good start. Jesus. You have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the chosen one, Son of God, the one, the deal. And that there's no way to get to him. When you stop wanting to say Jesus' name, you're in trouble. And if you want to find out where somebody is, just start talking about Jesus. I tell women this all the time. I don't care how hot he is. You get on the first date, mention your friend. You know what? Well, there's another man in my life. And I think I should tell you this right up front because this may be a deal killer. Jesus is first. Let me tell you something. There is power in that name. You say, well, but that's not cool, and I'm going to run him off. Well, you know what? Let's run him off. Right? Let's run him off. Well, but you don't understand. I'm lonely. You're going to be real lonely. Because you marry that piece of work, it's just going to be you and Jesus for real. That's all you're going to have. Romans chapter 5. Go to the next one. You know what? This message may be for more people than you realize. For some reason, the devil gets us spun around on simple stuff like this. You need to settle this once and for all and grow up. This one guy I talked to the other day about all this. I said, are you married? He said, yeah. I said, you and your wife ever fight? Oh, yeah. I said, every time you have a fight, did you have to go down and get remarried? He said, no. I said, why is that? Because you're married, dude. That's not the issue. Then don't go try to get remarried to God every time you have a problem with God. Or he has a problem with you. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry. The issue is not being reborn again. The issue is I screwed up and we need to settle this. The relationship is still intact. It's just the communion is not doing really good right now. So we have to have a conversation. And you know what? God doesn't have to apologize usually. So if something's wrong, you're the one that gets to apologize. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, you've been justified by faith, made right with God by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You know what? You've been justified by faith. You've been right with God by faith. What does that mean? It means that you heard the story. Someone explained to you that Jesus loved us enough to come live a sinless life, die on the cross, be buried, raised from the dead, shed his blood, do all of that to save us, to give us a place in heaven, to give us abundant life, eternal life. And you say, I believe that. That's faith. So when you get hit with questions, you go back with faith. You say, no, I'm not listening to this anymore. I'm not going down this road anymore. And you begin to rehearse again and tell the devil, which by the way turns into worship, you say, you know what? Let me sing you a little song, brother. And you start these songs that we sing, the scriptures that you read. When you know what the truth is and you believe something, then you speak truth back to the enemy and say, you know what? Go pick on somebody else. It ain't working here anymore. And I'll read you some verses you can read back to him in a minute. I know people are not comfortable reading the Bible of the devil, but it works. So peace is part of the deal. At some point when you settle it, you just have a peace about it. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I got lots of verses. I'm going to try to read faster. 2 Timothy chapter 1. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Now look at these verses. You want a verse to read back to the devil reading this one? For I know whom I have believed. Stop coming knocking on my door. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Leave me alone. You say, well, I don't know that. Then figure that out. Get it nailed down and know that and stand on that. Another one, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 and following. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 6, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Now, this is a huge indicator on your DNA test. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you, now listen, if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. You want to know whether you're a child of God? You're getting your butt whooped. That's what's going on. You getting a whooping every once in a while? Then thank God it's proof that you're his kid. It ought to make you real nervous that if you screw up, he doesn't show up and discipline you. You say, well, I got all these terrible things. You know, I got bad things happening. I'm sure I'm a Christian. What's up? Then see if there's a correlation. Look at what you're doing. You don't go around whooping kids just for not doing anything. So if you got challenges, you got situations, say, Lord, is there something going on here that you keep disciplining me for and I just don't get it, right? And you say, okay, Lord, enough. I don't know how I brought this heat on me, but I got a good idea. I confess it and I'm asking you mercy, mercy. 1 John chapter 3, and the rest of them are in 1 John, then we're done. 1 John chapter 3, listen to this. Behold, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Now here's what I'm suggesting. When the enemy comes at you with these crazy thoughts, then just kind of stand up if you have to and say, look, let me explain something to you. I am a child of God. And I am a child of God because I have been born into his family. He is my father. I am his child. We are not doing this anymore, right? And maybe I haven't behaved all the time and been obedient 100% of the time and I get disciplined by my father, but you are not going to come into my little house and my little heart anymore and stir me up and tell me I'm not connected, I don't belong, and he's not my dad. I am a child of God. A few more verses. Go down to that same passage, verse 10. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Now, this is where people don't like the Bible. I'm about to mess you up. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Okay, so practice righteousness. If you don't practice righteousness, you're not living a life. You say, well, but I don't do it all the time. It means desire of your heart. Basically, there's a desire to do the right thing. Nor is he who does not love his brother. One of the no-brainer DNA tests to find out whether you're a child of God is, do you love other Christians? If you do not love other believers, then you start asking the question, what's wrong with this picture? One of the basic things, and 1 John is replete with this, that you say you love God and you hate your brother, you're a liar. It is not possible. If you look around and see other Christians, other believers, and there's something in you, you go, wow, I love these people. That's a great indication. Why? They are your family. So you love your family. You say, well, but they're not like me or they don't like me. It doesn't matter. You have a love for these people that trumps everything. So here he brings up this, you do not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know, look at these verses, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Big, big evidence. Do you love your brothers and sisters in Christ? I didn't ask you if you liked them. I don't like all the Christians I know, but I love them. Keep reading. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, saying just the words, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Do you love other believers? You have no love for other believers? Then you may have no part in this. Can you get away from God and that love wane, you know, kind of go down? Yes, but if you are in a right place, it's working, then you're going to have love for other believers. It's one of the indicators. Then the last part of this in verse 24, now he who keeps his commandments abides in him and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. You'd think this would be no brainer, but it's big. Do you believe that you have the Holy Spirit of God living in your body? If you are a Christian, you have to know this stuff. When I became a Christian, the Holy Spirit moved in this body, and he has not left here since I was 6 years old. He was around me before that, but he was not in me until the moment I trusted. When you become a Christian, the Spirit of God moves into your body and will not leave you. You have to know this. And the problem with Christians who try to get away from God is what they want to do is, will you please just leave me alone for a little while, God? And he says, nope, not in my contract. The deal was, I would never leave you. I'm here, thick or thin, good, bad, I'm in. 1 John chapter 4, we're almost there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out in the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And that's one DNA test right there.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there on the Talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him, who begot also, loves him who is begotten of him. And it goes back to this loving each other. Jump down to verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So you say, well, I'm getting hit by the world, challenged by the world. Sooner or later, your faith will overcome the world. Down in that same passage, verse 10, he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony. Listen to this, verse 11. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Look at this. That you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now, my simple question is this. Does God live in you? And if he does, it's because you have been born again of the Spirit. He lives in you. There was a point in time where you said, I know I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I'm asking you to come live in me and through me. Change my life. Done deal. I am sealed. I'm going to make it. It's all good. It may be painful. I may screw up again, but I'm in. At some point, you have to know some baseline stuff. He's either in you or he's not. There are indicators. The spiritual DNA is either there or it's not. If it's not, let's settle it and let's move forward.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.